The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionix, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the Social Studio.
It's the weekly podcast from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Trevor at trevordan.com. And here's top broadcaster, Stephanie Hurst. How are you, Steph?
I'm very well. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. It's a few weeks ago that we last talked together on this podcast at Next Radio. Has anything been happening in your life at all?
Not really, no. It's just been really quiet, really. Right. Nothing's happened. I've just kept me, you know, kept me head down and just, a bit's gone on, hasn't it?
Well, when I saw that press release that said, the time has come to make one of the hardest decisions of my life, and you announced you were leaving your breakfast show in Yorkshire, I thought, what on earth could that be? Is it some kind of stunt? I mean, is he joining the BBC? Is he going to fight with the Taliban? I didn't see this coming. And yet I keep meeting people now who sort of rub their chin and say, of course, well, we all knew about this. Was it a well-kept or not so well-kept secret that you were going for gender reassignment?
I'd been looking at doing it for, I nearly did it at 25. I'd known since I was about 8 years old that there was obviously a gender issue with me as a person. But I got to a point where I was on this merry-go-round and I just couldn't get off. The career went crazy and I was just feeling trapped basically by the one thing I love more than anything else, which is radio. So I decided that I would start to tell people in my inner circle, which I did, and they didn't leak it at all. It was only about 2 days before the Five Live show went out that I got a couple of texts from people that it started to get out. So to keep it secret for that long, and people would meet each other and they would kind of try to ask each other whether they knew or not, but never confirm, if you know what I mean.
The interview you did with Stephen Nolan was a particularly brilliant piece of radio. And I wondered what it was like for you at your end of it. Because Stephen, he is a terrific interviewer, isn't he?
He's amazing, isn't he? Yeah.
I mean, he manages somehow by giving people a lot of room, I think by being not adversarial. He manages to encourage you to be yourself and say what you want to say. Was that how it felt for you?
Well, it did. The thing is, I got into the studio and I felt really at ease. I'd sat in the little area just outside the studio area, which it's a beautiful building there in Salford, isn't it? It's just, you kind of just sit there looking around going, wow, this is fab. And I went into the studio and just immediately felt at home. And because it's my natural environment, I sit in a radio studio like I do now in my home one. And I'm just at ease. It's my natural environment. So I sat down and we started. And before I knew it, I'd said I'm transgender.
Tell me where you are now then. You said you're in your own studio because there'll be some geeky radio people listening to this, not least me. Describe where you are now.
Do you know what that is?
Oh, it's a tape machine.
It's a cartridge.
It's a cartridge.
Oh, I've got loads of them. No, I'm sitting in my studio. There's a broadcast desk in front of me. It's a Sonyfex S2, a 30-frame version. 3 Denon cart players at the side of me. I put a couple of cart machines in there as well. There's EMT turntables. There's a heavy-duty thing called a Studer, which lasts forever. A Studer A807. I've got an A80 in storage. I'm just a geek, aren't I? I can talk about handbags as well.
One of my favourite bits of archive is Keith Skews on Pirate Radio London doing exactly what you've just done, talking us through what's in the studio. It's terrific. Now, look, I want to talk about the present and indeed the future of you as a broadcaster. But just let me take you back to when you're a kid, when the young Simon Hurst is listening to the radio in Barnsley. What was it that you first enjoyed on the radio? What were the shows that really got you excited when you were very little?
James Whale's late night show on Radio Air really did do something for me when it came to radio. I was addicted. And I got barred. I told James this recently. I got barred from ringing up because even though I was too young to be on the actual adult show from 11 o'clock when it became all talk. Between 10 and 11, it did this thing called do-it-yourself dedications, where you would ring up, you'd ask for your favourite song, and you would go on the air and introduce it yourself. And that was that. And it was hugely popular. You could never get through. I remember dialing the number. In fact, if you get me a touchtone phone now, I can still dial 0532 455362 really fast. Such a geek. But I got barred. I rang up too much. Then eventually managed to get in and go and have a look around the radio station. And it was Radio Air. That was the station that really did make the radio come alive for me.
And they gave you your first
Can
show.
Can I just stop just 2 seconds?
Of course.
Can I just stop? I'm just getting a little bit of delay coming back.
Okay.
Ever so slightly. So I keep having to just drop cue. Is there any reason why?
Jordan is here being the engineer. Can you answer these technical questions being posed from Barnsley?
Let me have a look. Let me see. No, everything looks all right on this end.
Does it?
Yeah. I might keep this in, because this is the sort of geeky talk.
It's geeky, Radio yeah. I'm just
Today
getting a little bit of delay coming back.
No. I'm going
Well,
away
we're
again.
Using Kevin Leach's IPDTL instead of ISDN, and it's not on a clean feed fader. I'm just on QPFL, but I shouldn't really be getting myself coming back for something. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Can I say, all right, leaving me? That's what engineers always say.
It's all right leaving me. Yeah. I'll send you some tone.
Okay, so Radio Air gave you your first show, Hirsty. What was that?
It was overnights. It was covering for a friend of mine called Neil Rudd. I did the overnight show called Night Flight, which Moyles had done previously, because I got to know Chris when I was at Radio Air and Hospital Radio in Wakefield. And he's a radio geek like myself. And we both used to help this guy called Carl Kingston out. And Chris had been at Air for a while, been a helper and stuff, and then eventually got to do the overnight show. But Chris is like 12 months older than me, so he was a year ahead. Then he went off to Luxembourg, and then there was a load of free work, so cover work and stuff. So I picked up some of that. Thanks, Chris. And, yeah, it was doing overnights, which I can probably find you a clip of it if you want.
I've looked at your website. You've actually got quite a lot of clips of yourself for people to pull down, whether you like it or not.
Or not, yeah. There's a clip of me introducing Billy Ray Cyrus and saying Billy Ray Cyprus.
Yes, I heard that this very morning. Shall we play that now? I think we should.
Good morning, it's Night Flight, 96.3 FM and 828 Meeting Wave with me, Simon Hurst, in for Neil Rudd this morning. That's Saru Betts and Jukebox Jive. And this is Billy Ray Cyprus, an achy breaky heart, now 1:05 with me, Simon Hurst, at Night Flight.
So there's the young Simon Hurst. Stephanie Hurst, you went on then, having, started off at Air. You worked at Minster and Hallam. Was going to Galaxy your biggest break?
I think so, yeah. But I also see Hallam as the massive break for me, because coming from Barnsley and being told as a child that I really wouldn't make anything of myself and I wouldn't get on the radio. I was told at school, because you have these careers chats, don't you, and stuff, and they say, what are you going to do with your future? And the teacher goes, you never amount to anything. And I said, I want to work on the radio. And they said, well, there's only one Dave Lee Travis, you'll never make it. But you know what? I mean, everything that's happened with Dave recently, he sent me a letter, because I wrote to him in about 1991, 92, because he was on TV and he said that no one ever asked for advice anymore. He sent me a 3-page personalised letter back. Oh. And if you read it now, every bit in that letter still makes sense, actually, and still applies. But I always kind of thought, well, that was quite nice of him, actually.
It's no funny thing, actually. It used to be really difficult to get a story about radio into the papers or onto the television. We were a sort of media backwater.
Yeah,
and,
we were, yeah.
And now, you know, if it's not a sex change, it's a it's a paedophile scandal, you know, or it's a sex beast story. You know, yeah. Radio is suddenly, it's where all the freaks are hanging out.
Well, that's one thing that really bothered me, actually, because I thought to myself, you know, I mentioned earlier, I was like a hamster on this wheel going round in this perpetual loop. And I was thinking, I'm going to lose absolutely everything. Absolutely everything. And I love radio more than anything in the world. And if I transition to be female, which will then make me whole and make me happy, because it's who I am. But if I lose radio, I'm still going to be unhappy again. And I was in this constant battle in my head for decades. And I was in fear of what the press would say. But do you know what? Everyone's been amazing.
just going back to Galaxy and its transition into Capital, what was that experience like? You know, I mean, to what extent were you allowed to be you?
I'd always been allowed to be me because I'd been hired from Viking. We'd done really well at Viking doing the show there. I did Hursty's Morning Glory there. And I took over from J.K. and Joel, who people think they'd been together for quite some time, but they hadn't. They'd only been together for probably about 12 months, something like that. Maybe less, actually, on Breakfast. And then they were taken off to Key. And Joel rang me up saying, there's a gig for you. Ring Stuart Baldwin at Viking. He's got a gig for you. And so I did. And then I left the Pulse because I'd gone back to do Breakfast briefly and didn't really enjoy it. I wasn't being managed correctly at all. I remember having a snoop there about how I did the weather, and it was like for an hour. I was like, oh god. But then went to Viking, did really well, and then a guy called Andrew Jeffries got in touch and he hired me at Galaxy, and then he left. We'd not even got the show on the air and he left. And then a guy called Mike Cass, who's brilliant, and he's coming back to be group PD of Yorkshire, isn't he, for Bauer. From Australia. And Mike was the one that just allowed us on Hursty's Early Doors just to go and create and have fun on the radio. And he really managed as well, really gave us complete freedom. But did things change in the transition to Capital? No. I remember Ashley saying to me, you know, I loved the show because remember he bought Chrysalis first and Galaxy was part of the global family to start with. And I remember Ashley saying to me personally, face to face, we don't want to change anything. Just do what you do. And I'll always sing his praises for that.
Hursty, Danny, Jojo.
Yeah!
Hursty's Daily Dose.
Capital.
I'm Jessie J, and this is my brand new single, It's My Party.
It's my party.
No!
Oh, what?
That's the wrong song.
Oh, damn.
A sky full of light.
Bad meets evil. That's my impression of the end of Thriller. Is it all right?
Yeah, it's very good.
Is it all right? Do you like the door shut at the end?
Yeah. Yeah,
all right. All right, first time I've ever done that. I'm impressed myself. Might listen back to that. Right, it's 8:42.
He's not even kidding.
I'm not.
No.
I'm not.
Really not.
I very rarely listen back to the shonk that we do, but varying occasions. I do.
I think I want bad in that bit. That impression wasn't too bad.
I'm going to listen to it over and over again. Tell myself I'm brilliant.
Make a tape.
I'll put on
the
best of tape.
The best of tape is
very short.
It's very short.
So seconds.
Here you are. You left radio and you've had these personal issues that you've been dealing with off air. When do we next hear you on air?
Well, there's nothing concrete. I've been very lucky that even when I came off the air in June, the phone rang. And then after I announced this, the phone still rang. So I am the same broadcaster. I sit in my studio here and I've got everything around me. I've got my Echo, which I love. I love radio. Everett's my hero. As I said at the Royal Institute when we were there for Next Radio, I see radio as a field of unplicked flowers every show. And I just want to go and pick them all. But does that mean I want to use Echo on the air all the time? No, not really. I mean, I'd love to do speech radio. I've got my vinyl show, which I've got 20,000 singles here. I want to be able to do something with that because I really loved doing my vinyl show on Gold. I adored it.
Do you
There's
think...
nothing like sitting in your house playing records.
Do you think, Steph, that the industry, by and large, is nervous of you? Are they nervous of what the public is going to say? Because if they are, I can't see why there would be. As you said, there's been an enormous amount of love in the room, hasn't there? I mean, it's not a decision that's been criticised in any way. I can't see why radio stations wouldn't welcome you back. I mean, God knows it's difficult enough to get women on the air.
Yeah,
you know, off you go.
Just looking at some of the Facebook posts and stuff like that on my Facebook, the audience that connect with me from Yorkshire just want me back on the air. The percentage of haters, 0.1, not even that. It's tiny.
That is very encouraging, isn't it?
And it just shows you that, you know, the audience, it doesn't matter what gender you are, if you connect with them on a level and you make them laugh and you make them smile or you make them cry or whatever, it works for them. And I'm working on my voice. And that's one thing. I sit in my studio and I practice, just like I did when I was a kid in my bedroom in Barnsley. I always had a studio in my house because my dad used to be in bands in the 70s. And I used to take his equipment and stuff and build a little studio. And I'd always record and practice and practice and practice. And that still applies today. Last night and the night before, I was in here practicing. And I, you know, it will just get better as I go along.
So are you trying to make your voice lighter?
Yeah, I'm trying to. It's to do with pitch and resonance.
Uh-huh.
There's a wonderful woman I see in London called Christella. She's just up the Marylebone Road, and she's one of the best in the world at speech therapy. So I had my first session with her last week because I want to have the best people. Because there's a chance I could go to, there's a place in Korea called Yensen, and they do a little voice surgery thing where they will literally just hire your vocal cords ever so slightly and it knocks it up a level. But I still want to be able to drop down into my lower register if I want, because I want to be able to do lots of different voices. You know, I'll pick the phone up to friends who are other radio friends and we'll do just impressions of other radio DJs down the phone. And if I can't drop down there and do Peel, it's not going to sound particularly right, really. Although it probably sound a little bit more like Mark Ratcliffe these days, I suppose, really, isn't it?
Have you thought of joining Sound Women, Stephanie?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
I'm sure they'd welcome you aboard, wouldn't they?
I'd love to, yeah. I mean, my brain has always been female because it is biological and the way I've thought. And I've had to try to be male all my life, try. And people would say to me sometimes, oh, God, you were very alpha male. Well, it must have worked then, me trying to be, because obviously people went, look at you with your skinhead and your shaved and your beard, which you used to trim back. But I never felt that was truly me. So, yeah, I'd love to do that, yeah.
From the perspective that you now have, there aren't enough women on the air, are there?
No, they're not. And I've always been a massive fan, and I've always flown the flag for female DJs. There's some amazing female broadcasters I've worked with, and I've always gone, we need more females on the air.
So maybe Radio 2's the place for you then?
Online, on digital radio, and on...
Oh, you've been practising.
Me? Never.
But seriously, you know, it could be that that you could pave the way, actually, for another generation of female DJs, particularly in commercial radio. I mean, Radio 2 gets some stick, but there's not a lot of women broadcasting on commercial radio either, is there?
And there really should be. I've worked with some amazing female broadcasters. Names spring to mind, like Debbie Mack and Emma Scott, who I work with at Hallam. There's lots of other female. Elisa Hilton, who I did The Breakfast Show with at The Pulse, great broadcaster. Jojo, who I co-hosted Breakfast with at Galaxy. I want to work with her again because she's my big sister and we click and she's amazing and I adore her. So there are women out there that I just... And there should be more. And when I do talks at universities or I'm doing something for student radio, I'll always say we need more women on the air. Because it's very male dominated, and that's coming from me who identified as a male for 30 odd years. It is a very, very male industry, isn't it?
Well, we can't talk about one thing we know you're doing, which is for network radio. We'll let the network itself announce that. And are you going to be back somewhere playing records in the not too distant future?
Yeah, I plan to be. I'm enjoying the time out, though. I am enjoying just having a bit of time off. Because after 15 years of Breakfast, it did tend to wear me out a little bit. And if you've ever done Breakfast yourself or earlies, you'll know that jet lag feeling. And it takes a few months to get yourself back together.
I only did it for 18 months and it was a horrible experience.
It is, isn't it? It's wonderful being on. Once you're in the studio and you're there, it's wonderful and I adore it. It, with an H. But it's afterwards. It's the 10 a.m. and people come in who have had a good 8 hours sleep and they want you at 10 o'clock when you've come off the air, and they want to ask you a billion questions, and I'm like, I just want to go to sleep. Because I give my all when I'm on the air, when I'm in the studio.
And because now you're a woman, you're going to have to take more care about your appearance.
I've got it down to 17 minutes.
You can't just slob in there like you used to.
I've got the makeup down to 17 minutes every day. Do you know what? Because I'm doing it every day now. I stopwatch on my iPhone. 17 minutes today.
Impressive.
Tomorrow I want to get it down to 16. And I'm just going to... Obviously, at some point it will just go, well, I can't really do it any quicker, really. I'll look like a clown. But, yeah.
Well, look, Hirsty, good luck with everything that still needs to be done. And I'm sure we'll hear you on the radio very soon. It's great that you've agreed to talk to us today.
Thank you very much. Thank you, because...
The whole industry wishes you every success, I think.
I'm really touchy now. I'm really touched, Trevor, because I was just terrified, absolutely petrified. And I love radio. It's what I do. I can't do anything else. It's all I've ever wanted to do, all my life. And I love it on the air. I love it off the air. I love the machine. And there's something beautiful about radio. And I can't really put it into words, but it's almost like it's a drug, isn't it? It's an addiction.
Well, I think you did put it into words. Stephanie Hirst, thank you very much for joining us on the Radio Today programme. Let's have some news now from Roy Martin after a word from our sponsor. See, I could work on commercial radio as well. I've got all that stuff all tamped down there.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, Newsboss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
Thank you, Trevor, and thank you, Hirsty. And since Trevor recorded that interview with Stephanie, it's been confirmed that Jane Garvey will be joined by Hirsty for Five Live's annual review of the radio year, which airs this Christmas. So we look forward to hearing her back on the air then. In other news, Radio 1 has been given permission to operate a video channel on the BBC iPlayer by the Trust, a year after originally asking for permission. The launch date is November the 10th. UTV is to offer three brand extensions this year, with non-stop festive favourites on DAB, with Signal Christmas in Stoke-on-Trent, Wave Christmas in Swansea, and Pulse Christmas in West Yorkshire. And have you seen the one where the Chuckle Brothers do a song with Tinchy Strider in the Radio 1 Live Lounge? You can check it at radiotoday.co.uk. That's the very latest. I'm Roy Martin.
This is Resonance. Today, you find me just quite close to Borough Market on the South Bank in London town. The reason I'm here to talk to Resonance FM is because I've found in recent years, in fact, increasingly in recent months, more and more people are telling me that they've heard something on Resonance or they've been on it. So I thought I should come and find out what makes it tick, how it works. The CEO here is Ed Baxter. This is not a lavish facility, is it, Ed?
No, we have very limited space. As you say, we're near Borough Market, so we're in the centre of London where property prices and rent is high. So we squeeze our facility into this very small former Victorian print storage building, very odd-shaped, odd-sized rooms. And you and I are now sitting in an office that's not big enough to swing a kitten, let alone a cat.
But what's the point of Resonance FM, though? You describe yourself on your website as an arts radio station. Well, there aren't many of those. In fact, there aren't any others, are there?
Well, we started the station thinking that we could view radio, the medium, as an artistic medium. This is anti-intuitive, if you like, but it seemed when the Radio Authority launched the pilot access scheme that led to the current nationwide strata of community radio stations, that there must be a possibility of viewing radio artistically, that there was lots of other possibilities of radio that were being very well represented in the United Kingdom and in London in terms of provision for music, news, all kinds of communications, but nobody was dedicating themselves to having as their starting point that this was a medium that you could think of in the same way you might think of clay, oil paint, these kind of things. So, very non-radio.
And very ambitious.
It was. We did an RSL in 1996 at the Royal Festival Hall as part of John Peel's Meltdown Festival. John Peel didn't have actually any involvement in the station. That would have been too much of a busman's holiday, I think, for him. But that allowed us to do a month-long radio art gallery of the airwaves with a lot of international content. And it also galvanised a group of people in London, ranging from avant-garde musicians to stand-up comedians to people just walking off the street, who we gave free rein to. One of the initial, again, anti-intuitive motivations or actions was to let people get on with it rather than to police them or try and direct them too much. So the starting point was lift up a fader and make a noise, now you're broadcasting.
Because any commercial radio manager coming into a station like this would say that you are completely mad, because you're doing almost everything that they wouldn't do. You know, you have a very varied schedule, don't you? You play folk music, you play classical music, you play jazz, you play experimental music, you don't play any music at all for sometimes. It is a very eclectic mixture of stuff, but clearly it's working. So where is your funding coming from?
Well, you're asking me two different questions in that description. The funding is coming from Arts Council England, from private individuals. We had something like, I think, £37,000 in individual donations in February this year. We go to trusts and foundations. We occasionally attract visionary sponsors. So if any visionary sponsors are listening out there, don't be put off by Trevor's description of us as anti-commercial. And we rely very largely to underwrite everything on the 200-odd volunteers who make the programmes, engineer the programmes, do the washing up, all this kind of thing. So there's a huge concentration of human capital, if you like, rather than starting off as a business. And in fact, the first business plan we drew up was done by an old school friend of mine who's astute and lucky enough to have retired at the age of 54, and he told me I was insane to go ahead with this. Well, at least I knew I was insane in commercial terms. And we've managed to keep it going for pretty much 13 years now. But your description also suggests something that the industry might find perverse even. What we actually do, and I don't think about this too closely, because I think if I did, then I would take the whole thing apart and not be able to put it back together again. What we do is we attract a large number of different audiences. So Resonance is a station that I always think of as something that, in a sense, is designed to be turned off and on quite often. So the commercial sector would like their station to be omnipresent and continuous. This service is discontinuous, but you know, if you're listening, you don't like what you hear, that if you come back in an hour, there'll be something intriguing. And so, as well as a core audience of very dedicated listeners that we've built up, we recognise that there are niche audiences, and this has been from the outset. And in fact, now, if you look at the radio sector, most people would think of their service as, if not being addressing a niche audience, they'd at least recognise that the contemporary listener is extremely promiscuous and views them as a niche service, whether they like it or not.
If I implied that I was being critical by saying that I thought it was anti-commercial, I definitely wasn't. You see, I think that doing radio for a succession of niche audiences is a really cool idea, because it means that we never quite know what we're going to hear. And you're right, we might turn off, oh, I don't like this, I'll come back. But we might bump into stuff that we didn't expect. And that's, you know, that's probably the secret of Radio 4, isn't it? So it's not such a bad idea.
It's just, it's the secret, if you like, of analogue radio. But we now understand we're living in this the digital era of listen on demand and so on and so forth. Apparent consumer choice. But yes, the serendipity, the encounter with something you would never suspect, and the recognition that you are even the most broad-minded person is hidebound by their preconceptions and their experiential event horizon, if that doesn't sound like I've swallowed a West Coast manual. The randomness, the chance encounters, the sudden appearance in your life of something that you would never have thought of, this is something we are very keen to not just preserve, because that makes it sound a bit reactionary, but to some extent to engineer. And I have to say that there's not a single day here when I've been bored. Just when I think I've seen or heard it all, in will walk an African priestess who is only allowed to eat food with members of her own cult. There's only one other member in London and she doesn't like him. Or the American experimental opera composer Robert Ashley walks up the stairs while Dizzy Rascal is parked in the yard outside. These people can actually, they can physically meet, and they might even benefit. And say the same way, the broadcasters, they range from sort of 14 to 84. It's not often that these generations actually bump into each other and have to share the sink in the toilet and so on and so forth.
And do you think now, you mentioned the internet, obviously, and online, do you think of Resonance's potential audience as being the world, or are you still really focused on this particular area of the South Bank?
Well, the eavesdropping audience is international, and that's just a fact. But the rationale behind the station is about this location, and about, it's partly, it's dealing with the concentration of talent, ideas, expertise, energy that you get in the middle of London, which is this incredibly dense and rich environment. So we're very much about, when all the theoretical mumbo-jumbos were cast aside, it comes down to who is entering this building and what are they doing in this building with other people.
If I wander down your spiral staircase now, who am I going to find in the studio?
At the moment, Sam Lee, youthful folk singer, Mercury Prize nominee, is hosting his weekly show, which is an extension of his promotional activities as the Nest Collective. He's one of three hosts. Prior to him, he would have bumped into Brona Ferran from the Royal College of Art, who is discussing where new technology meets craft. So she's kind of suggesting a discourse that is emerging and not yet coherent. Later, after Sam, we will have a radio art performance conducted from a hut on the side of Ben Nevis by the novelist Tony White. And it's a tribute, a kind of lopsided tribute, to the late Jack Bruce of Cream. After that, there is a radio feature about the real Glastonbury, the town rather than the festival. And that leads us to a sporadical show discussing children's literature, the only one in the country, I think. And then at 5 o'clock, Sonic Blind Dates, in which Sophie Mallett plays records she's never heard, is followed by Out in South London, award-winning gay and lesbian current affairs and entertainment show. So, a lot packed in.
Let's go downstairs.
Ellie, always absolutely stunning.
And, thanks.
In this moment, we've got a sudden guest here.
Oh. Hello.
Would you come through?
Come and join us.
Hello, Sam.
Hello.
How are you?
Come and introduce yourselves to the audiences.
Well, I'm Trevor Dan, and I'm doing a podcast for Radio Today, which I do every week. And I thought I'd come and make a feature about resonance. And I was just chatting with Ed, and he said, oh, yes, we've got Mercury Music Prize nominee Sam Lee here. What, you mean old Sam? Sam? My mate Sam. So I thought I'd come and interrupt your show. I hope you don't mind.
Not at all. And to listeners who don't know Trevor, this is one of the kind of legends of radio here who's done it all, Radio 2, Radio 1.
Done it all badly.
Yeah. And still a great pioneer of emerging music, roots, outsider music as well.
I'm delighted to be sitting down here, and the first thing I see is a CD of John Martin's Solid Air, which has a song about Nick Drake, one of my favourites, and that you've got Joni Mitchell's Hajira. This is fantastic. Why aren't I listening to this show
listening to this show?
So, you better carry on doing your programme, and then I'll do a little interview with you.
OK. Well, we've got live in session Ellie Rusbridge, Trevor.
She's great.
Yeah, and she's... I've got to kind of speak into two microphones here. So, Ellie's...
Mercury Music Prize nominee, etc., etc. What is it about resonance that brings you back here to do a show?
I get away with murder here, that's why. I can turn up late, I can play music that's profane and sublime and... The quality control is exquisitely relaxed. No, but actually it's because I can take the risks playing 10 minutes of experimental hurdy-gurdy to Finnish dance music to singer-songwriters like Ellie Rusbridge.
She was great, wasn't she?
Absolutely gorgeous. She's a well-kept secret. I'm trying not to let her get too successful because then she'll never come back.
Do you find yourself listening to the radio station as well as being on it?
Yeah, I can't help it when I'm in the car and I'm kind of... You know, flicking through the different stations, and it's like I could listen to some really attractive pop music on Radio 2 or Radio 1, but then the kind of noise of a kind of Tokyo train station comes up with kind of synthesizers, and I'm like, man, I have to listen to this because I'd never hear this anywhere else. This is completely unique, and that's the magic of it, is that the kind of the curatorial creatorship is so broad and diverse. So there's so many different ideas, and people really kind of testing new waters on Resonance FM. We're probably the most conservative of all the shows.
Well, I've got Michael and Sarah with me here in the workshop that doubles as an office at Resonance. What do you do here?
I'm production manager.
Okay, well, that must be the job from hell, trying to keep all these shows on the road.
Yes, sometimes it is. But no, it's great. There's so many different types of people here, so as much as it can be really frustrating trying to get things to happen at the best of times, there's always a smile right around the corner and someone does something funny, so it lightens the mood.
What's your job, Michael?
I'm project manager. Is my
oh, not, that's, that point. Sounds like one of those jobs like head of strategy.
No.
So what projects are you working on?
At the moment, we're going to be broadcasting from a village in Ireland for a week at the end of November. And also, I'm doing some of the stuff around this project we're doing with the Science Gallery over at Guy's. And... what was before that? Oh, Port Elliot. And then before that, I worked on... oh, the science, when we were in the Science Museum with the exponential horn. Yeah, I ran that.
I think it would be easy to think that Resonance is like, as it were, your typical community station, where it's all kind of happening in one place and it's not really very ambitious. But you seem to make a big point about the ambitious projects.
Yeah, well, I mean, increasingly, as long as it doesn't, detract from the main operation, it's exciting to go away.
Yeah, I think the thing is about community as well is as much as that we're here as part of the community, we like to go out and be involved in the community as well. So that's our point, and it's a really nice opportunity to get away and leave the office occasionally and go and do some outside broadcasts.
And you're not short of people volunteering, are you? That's the most extraordinary thing. There's this real... let's be honest, you often go to a radio station and as soon as the boss's backs are turned, everyone says, oh, bloody awful here, you know. Or half my friends have been sacked and I'm on 0 hours contract, or whatever. You guys are really keen. You enjoy the whole business of radio, putting the shows on.
Yeah, well, there's no point in doing it otherwise, is there? I mean, if you're doing this... Anyone who's kind of doing it they don't feel that they're having a good time and doing what they want to do, I sort of think... I mean, no one's in radio for the money, are they, at any level? So if you're not getting something else out of it, then you're a bit of a fool, really.
I think that's a very good place to leave it. Thank you ever so much for having me at Resonance. What's the frequency?
104.4 FM. And we're also online, www.resonancefm.com.
This is the art of listening. Resonance 104.4 FM. The art of listening.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Radio Moments.
We start this week just 2 years ago when Danny Baker heard the news that his BBC London show wasn't to continue.
Very good afternoon to you, everybody. Probably for the last time, the show has been cancelled. Found out myself, you know, since 1988. Nobody actually rung us up. Apparently that's not the way you do it.
Oh.
Dear Lord. Dear Lord, that's not how you do it. No, that's the form. 1988. See that wall out there groaning with gold medals? I was happy to come along then.
Dan,
they got hold of me then, strangely.
Are you being inducted
in every branch of showbiz now, there is the rise of the middle management. And what this place could do was lose two-thirds of middle management and actually, you know, put it more into making programmes. The idea that there's, I think, a third more meetings rooms in there than there is studios.
Danny Baker this week in 2012. In the United States, as over here, the radio manufacturers made the early strides in broadcasting. Like the companies which came together to form the British Broadcasting Company in the UK, Westinghouse in the US knew there had to be content on air if they were going to sell any radio sets at all. So, this week in 1920, they called upon Dr. Conrad in Pittsburgh, who was a bit of a radio anorak, bit of a radio ham. And thanks to his efforts, KDKA came on the air from the roof of their building. It was to be America's first ever commercially licensed station.
This is KDKA of the Westinghouse Electric and Manufacturing Company in East Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We'd appreciate it if anyone hearing this broadcast would communicate with us, as we are very anxious to know how far the broadcast is reaching.
The start of KDKA in 1920. Tony Blackburn wasn't on that station, but he was on Radio 2 for the first time proper with Pick of the Pops this week in 2010.
Hi there, Tony Blackburn here. I'm delighted to be a new presenter on Pick of the Pops. And for my very first show, I've selected two really terrific charts. We're going to go back 44 years to 1966, then 31 years to 1979.
Teddy Blackburn taking over from Dale Winton on Radio 2 4 years ago. And this week, 26 years ago, Tony was on the launch day of this station.
Capital Gold, but just literally minutes away from all those number ones between 9 and 10 this morning. It's 8 minutes to 9, Capital Gold time. Do you remember this one?
For me, it was quite interesting because we were playing music from the 60s and the 70s in those days. And I, of course, was doing the breakfast show. I went back on the breakfast show, 6 until 9 o'clock it was then. And, of course, I was on Radio Caroline in 1964. And I remember one of the records I played there was, Big Girls Don't Cry by the Four Seasons. And I thought, now, here I am again, years and years on, playing exactly the same music at exactly the same time in the morning, the only difference being on land.
Tony Blackburn on Capital Gold, which launched this week in 1988, launching as a Capital spin-off after the earlier experiments in weekend FM splitting. One of the most famous radio comedies ever began this week, 60 years ago.
Hurry up, Kerr. Haven't you finished typing out those invitations yet? Don't rush me. Might help if you took the gloves off.
Hancock's Half Hour, the programme which helped to pave the way for the sitcom. The first edition was heard on radio this week in 1954. It was nearly called The Tony Hancock Show. Its theme tune was performed by Wally Stott, who later changed gender to become Angela Morley.
Hancock's Half Hour.
Yes, this is the first night of the lad's new radio series. Such occasions are usually marked by a small celebration of some sort, but Tony Hancock is really doing it in style. He's going to throw a cocktail and dinner party.
Happy 60th birthday, Hancock's Half Hour. Some stations just keep on changing names, don't they? This week, 6 years ago, XFM Scotland, which had been Beat, became Galaxy Scotland.
Let's go. Let's go. Gary Spence.
So, my turn first. Hope you're doing all right. This is Galaxy. We are on, and we're going to kick off with Guru Josh Project Infinity 2008.
Across Scotland, love music. Galaxy. Here's my key.
The start of Galaxy in Scotland this week, 6 years ago. When BBC Radio Birmingham launched this week 44 years ago, its first presenter was taking his early steps in radio, Peter Powell.
I left school at 16 and a half and I started DJing because it seemed to me to be a pretty good way of having a good time. My next door neighbour was a secretary who was working for a very fine man called Michael Ford, who had the responsibility for the setting up of the BBC local radio network. I was chatting with her one evening and I was saying, I want to be a DJ. She said, oh, I'll tell Michael about you. So she did. And she came back about 2 days later and said, oh, Michael's going to audition you. I went, oh, my God. My dad says, firm handshake and smile. So that was basically how it all began, firm handshake and smile. And he asked me to do some work in the studio. I was totally unlistenable to, in my opinion.
Recollections of the early days of BBC Radio Birmingham, launching from Pebble Mill this week in 1970.
Good morning, everybody. This is BBC Radio Birmingham, your local radio station for Birmingham, Coventry, Wolverhampton and the Black Country, broadcasting on 95.6 VHF.
From the press this week, and we feature a letter written this week in 1974 to The Times, and it came from James Gordon, then Managing Director of Radio Clyde, and he says, Sir, some weeks ago, the BBC received widespread publicity for its claim that the total audience for commercial radio in Britain was less than 1 million. They did not substantiate that claim by publishing the figures for each station, although I repeatedly invited them to do so. I have now to hand, says James Gordon, an independent survey by Radio Audience Measurement Limited, a division of NOP, and this shows that Radio Clyde alone has an audience of 875,000. And he concludes his letter by saying, I therefore invite the BBC to withdraw their previous claim and to end once and for all arid arguments about audience figures by joining in research by an independent organisation whose findings would be acceptable to all. And from that suggestion, of course, later we had Jikra and Rajar. This week in 1966, we had the first Pop North on the BBC Light programme to be hosted by Ray Moore.
Pop North it is, once again bouncing back right into the light with 60 minutes of the sensational sounds of 67. Helping make the music this afternoon, we've got special guests P.P. Arnold, Wayne Fontana and the Trogs. My name is Ray Moore, and right now there's a kind of hush all over the place with BBC Top Tune number 2, Silence is Golden from the Mouth Ray 3.
Ray Moore. Doris Arnold was hailed as the first female DJ in the UK. She made her debut aged 34 this week in 1938 after a journey through the BBC.
I was transferred to the music department after a year where I acted as secretary to four members of the BBC orchestra and to Stanford Robinson, who was then BBC chorus master.
Doris Arnold, from BBC typist to jock this week, 76 years ago. She hosted These You Have Loved. So, with the end of Laser 558 29 years ago...
Laser 558.
The death of Pirate Radio London newsreader Paul Kay 34 years ago...
The next news, 1 hour away. Paul Kay reporting...
And Devonair launching 34 years ago...
Devonair Radio, independent local radio for Devon.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments.
Thank you, David. That concludes your Value for Money Radio Today programme for this week. Thanks also to Roy Martin, to the lovely people at Residence, and of course to Stephanie Hurst. Next week, two more stories from the wonderful world of radio. I'll be at Radio 2's Sounds of the 80s, which is a radio and television co-production. And I'll also talk to Adrian Durham of TalkSport, who's celebrating 25 years on air. This has been a TDC production. Thanks for listening.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.